And this new covenant that Jesus was talking about the night before he was betrayed, this new covenant would also involve death and blood and brokenness. It would be Jesus's. And the writer of Hebrews says that this new covenant is a better covenant. It supersedes. It's better. It's superior. Now, I remember when my husband Mitch and I, we got married and we bought our first house and we signed a contract. It's not as intense as a covenant, a contract like a purchase, but we were so excited, our first home. And yeah, it was tiny. It was like mini little three bedrooms and a little bathroom and half a kitchen. And it wasn't structurally sound, that house, but we slapped some paint on it, hoping that might help it. The kitchen was tiny, so tiny, in fact, that we didn't even have room for the pantry. That's the word. I feel like I'm doing charades now. Sounds like. Thank you, husband. He's the brain of these two, this partnership. A pantry. It didn't even have a pantry. So we went to IKEA and bought like a little skinny pantry. It didn't even have room enough like for a dining room. It had like, we had a little dining table shoved up against the wall so that we could get around it. And we started to raise our family there, and I was pregnant with Micah when suddenly my parents came and had a conversation with us and they said, "We've got an idea." Okay. Well, my parents had been living in Nelson Bay and they would come and visit us once a fortnight, and they bought a little place in Lemon Grove that they would come and stay there while they would visit us and look after the kids, and it was lovely. But they said, "Why leave this little empty place in Lemon Grove when what we could do is put in together with you and buy a new house?" Oh, I felt like I'd won the lotto, and I've never played the lotto. I couldn't believe it. I didn't earn it. I didn't ask for it. I didn't deserve it. We didn't deserve it. We didn't do anything, but it was such an act of kindness, and we did it. We signed a new contract. The new was better than the old. And this new contract, we got a new house with real bedrooms and bathrooms, more than one, and a real kitchen with a dishwasher. Praise the Lord. We love and we still love our new house. The new is better. And Jesus said, "This is the blood of my new covenant, which is poured out." What for? For the forgiveness of sins. That's the blessing we get in this new covenant. Oh, we've all sinned. I know you're looking at the person next to you thinking they're so holy, they're so pretty, they look so good. But the truth is, we've all sinned. Unintentionally sinned. We say things, we do things, we forget things, accidentally steal things from the shop when you thought it was at the bottom of the cart. Or I could accidentally after this service, we could go have a coffee together and I could spill my coffee on you. It's a mistake. Oops. But you know that mistake? It will stain your shirt and it will cause you some pain. And that's what sin does, even if it's unintentional. It still has consequences. It still hurts. But the truth is, in this room, from the back row to the front and on this stage, we haven't just unintentionally sinned. We've done it on purpose, intentionally, because we enjoyed it. We did it on purpose. Sometimes it's because of the things that we wanted, the success that we wanted. Sometimes it's that desire for someone or something. And we were willing to color outside of the lines. We were willing to compromise our integrity and do the things we said we would never do. S-I-N, sin, the self-indulgent nature. And for many of us, we have been doing it so long that smoke alarm inside of us called our conscience, it gets numb and it doesn't work anymore. And we just keep doing those things and we don't even feel bad about it anymore until we get caught. When we get caught, man, you feel sick. You feel anxious. You're ashamed. You've been exposed. And it would be like me saying to you in this room, "I've got a surprise for you. We've been following you like Big Brother for the last 10 years. We've recorded every action, everything you were doing in secret. You thought was in secret. Well, we were watching every thought you thought, the lust, the lies, the cheating. What we're going to do is just put it up on this here big screen today. Can you imagine that? If that was you and your life up on that big screen, oh my goodness, I would feel sick. Wouldn't you feel sick? Wouldn't you feel ashamed? And that's what sin does. There are consequences, shame, condemnation, brokenness between you and others, brokenness between you and God. And there's a penalty that has to be paid for sin. The penalty is death. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. The penalty of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. Romans 3:22 says, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of sin. All of us have sinned, but all of us can be made right in his sight. God's grace freely makes us right. Today, I want us to embrace grace, the gift of God's grace that we celebrate today. The new covenant is grace-based, not performance-based. What is grace? Grace is undeserved kindness, undeserved mercy. You haven't earned it. You did nothing to earn it. It's just given to you for free, undeserved. I remember quite a few years ago, my kids were smaller. I had a girlfriend over, and one of my kids was doing something that I had always told them not to do. He was jumping on the couch. Now, we have a rule in our house, no jumping on the couch. And this just displayed to my friend that I'm not a perfect parent and I don't have perfect kids. He was doing the wrong thing. He was going against our rules of our house. And so while I'm talking to my friend, suddenly there's a cry. He'd fallen off the couch and hit his head. And I ran into that lounge room and I made sure he was okay. And he said, oh, I'm okay. I'll just sit on the lounge. Yeah, I think he was trying to hide because he knew he'd been doing the wrong thing. He knew if there wasn't somebody else here, watch out. I went back and was yapping with my friend at the dining table when suddenly a few moments later he comes into the dining area and he says, Mum, I don't feel so... He didn't even get the word out. Projectile vomit. I said to my friend, I think he's concussed. She said to me, you need to take him to the hospital. I'm going to stay here and clean up the vomit for you. What a friend. What a friend that cleans up the vomit. What a friend we have in Jesus who steps into our mess, into our vomit, and he says, I'll clean it up for you. He's perfect. He never did it. He never sinned. He was perfect, but he came into our mess. He came into our sin. He came into our vomit, and he cleaned it up. That's what his blood did for us. This is why we sing about blood, because it's his blood that absolutely cleanses, the great unstainer. Romans 3, yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. The blood paid the penalty for our sins. The blood freed us from the prison that sin is. Hebrews tells us, in fact, according to the law of Moses, nearly everything was purified with blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness for sin. This is God's character. This is who he is ever since the beginning, from the Garden of Eden to the Garden of Gethsemane. We read about Adam and Eve in the garden, and they disobey God. They take the fruit. They're enticed by the devil who's there as a serpent. And in a moment, they realize what they have done. The alarm goes off inside of them and they're ashamed. God comes. Genesis 3:8. When the cool evening breezes, at that moment their eyes were opened. Genesis 3:7. At that moment their eyes were opened and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves to cover themselves. Don't we all do that? When we're ashamed of what we've done, we try and perform ourselves. We try and look better. We try with morals or religion. If I attend church, I'll try and make things better. That's what they tried to do. They tried to cover up. But then we see that God comes in verse 8, when the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden, so they hid from the Lord God among the trees. You see, shame causes us to hide. Have you been hiding from God? They made excuses, and that's what we all do. You see, sin causes disgrace, but God gives grace to the disgraced. And so what does God do? Verse 21, chapter 3, and the Lord God made clothing from animals, and they were animal skins for Adam and his wife. He killed an animal and spilt shed blood. God shed the blood. And he took the animal skins and he covered them. Oh, God didn't hold their sin against them. He didn't say, oh, you naughty boy and girl, you disobeyed me. You were jumping on the couch. No, he didn't expose them. He didn't shame them. He didn't disgrace them. But he lavished grace on them by covering their shame. He gave a gift. He spilt blood so that they could be covered from their shame. Furthermore, he promised the devil and them right there one day. Verse 15, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. This is a promise that God made to the devil and to Adam and Eve. Watch out. You see, we're going to look at a picture right now on Calvary. Yes, the enemy struck him at the heel. He was beaten, he was bruised, he was tortured. He had lashes upon lashes of broken glass going into his back as he was whipped. He had 9-inch nails driven through his wrists. He had a crown of thorns embedded into his skull. Yes, the enemy struck his heel, but in that moment he was shedding blood. And that shedding of the blood was doing something. It was crushing Satan in the head. His blood was spilt so that all of the sins of the world could be washed away, so they could be right with God and have a relationship with God. I tell you, Calvary legally destroyed Satan's hold on humanity and all of his claims. This Good Friday, it's good because of God's grace. Will you embrace God's grace? Will you embrace God's grace today? We're going to ask you right now to prepare your communion. You can open up the top for the wafer. You can open up the next section for the juice there that represents the blood while I read this verse in Ephesians 2. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Would you take that wafer right now, right where you are? Close your eyes. We're going to take a moment. Take a private, personal moment. Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body. Jesus, we thank you for your body broken for us. You were torn, you were broken. But we thank you that in the breaking of your body, you crushed the work of the enemy in our lives. We don't have to be in that prison of sin anymore. We don't have to be held back by the lies of the enemy. Lord, we receive your grace right now. We thank you for your grace. You can partake of the bread. And he took the cup. And he gave thanks. He gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. The new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. We thank you for this new covenant that your blood spilt gave us a new beginning. The old is gone, the new has come. We thank you for the forgiveness of our sins, that when you look at us, you don't see our sin anymore. You've wiped it away as far as the east is from the west. We thank you for your grace. We didn't earn it, but you gave it freely. Amen. You can partake. No, this grace of God has impacted my life and has impacted many lives in this room. Would you give me a wave if God's grace has changed your life? Would you just give me a wave? Well, I want to invite my friend, Tayao, to come. He's just going to share a bit of his story of how God changed his life. The grace of God has changed him. Thanks.
Standing before you today is a living testimony of a life transformed, not because of anything I have done, but because of everything God has done. My life was a mess, full of distress, like a game of chess. Self-focused, selfish, unfaithful, unforgiving. I hated life, hated people, even hated myself. Most of my early childhood memories are only memories of trauma. And as a result of that trauma, it impacted my adult life, as I was just an angry, miserable person with no hope and no purpose. Michelle and I unexpectedly caught up with a man who knew me from way back. He thought I would become two things, dead or in prison. But God showed me something different. I remember that day back in 2003 when I heard a similar story of what Jesus did for me. And it was at that very moment that everything changed. My brokenness, God didn't turn away. And my brokenness, in fact, is where God met me. With grace I didn't deserve and mercy I couldn't earn. And that's what I couldn't comprehend. How can a God that I never knew and sinned against still love a broken, sinful man like me? But I was reminded that his love for me wasn't based on the good things I had done or the life I had lived. But on what he had already done for me on the cross through his son Jesus. His grace lifted the weight I was carrying. His mercy gave me strength to start again. Not because I had earned it or deserved it, but because God delights in restoring lives that are broken. Today and every other day, I walk in that freedom. Not because I have it all together, but because God's grace is enough for me and His mercy keeps showing up every single day. I know if God can take my pain and my brokenness, as He has done for so many others, and turn it into something beautiful that only God can do for His glory, I promise you, God can and will do do the same for you. Why? Because just like me, He loves you that much.
This church is a place for the disgraced. If you feel like you've been misunderstood, if you feel like an outcast, if you feel like you've been judged, you're welcome here. This is a place of grace. This is a place where you can experience the grace and the kindness of God. This is a place where you can know God and know the freedom that He gives. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "For if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come." If you will place your life in Christ, make Him your Lord, your King, then you become new. The sins of the past go, they're washed away, and you have a brand new start. Actually, Jesus called it being born again. You get a brand new start. So I want to pray right now. I'm going to ask that you close your eyes, because I want to pray for people all across this room. Jesus is here right now. His Spirit is here, and He is saying to you, come. Jesus is inviting you today to receive forgiveness. Have your sins washed away. He's inviting you to move to a brand new place of salvation. Yes, it's a new place. It's a place of freedom and grace and kindness. It's a place where He will live with you. He pays the price for it and relocates you to this new position, this new house. You know, when Mitch and I moved to this new house, I never said to him one night, ever, I think I'd like to go and live in the old house, because the new is better. And in Christ, He wipes away your past. He assures you of your future, and He empowers your presence, your present life. All across this room, I want to ask, will you respond to Jesus' invitation? Will you say yes to Jesus, maybe for the first time, or maybe you're coming back home to Jesus? But I'm going to ask you that you boldly lift your hand to say yes to Jesus today. And I'm going to count to three. And I'm going to ask that you be bold and put up your hand if you are saying yes to Jesus. One, two, three. Raise your hand if you're giving your life to Jesus. Yeah, all across this place, whether for the first time or you're coming back home, you've been away for a while. Yeah, I can see hands all across this room. Right at the back, I see you. I want to pray for those who are lifting their hands. I'm going to pray a prayer of salvation. Will you pray it with me in your heart? Heavenly Father, I come to You today and I realize I am a sinner. I have sinned, and intentionally and unintentionally, and I have offended You, and I understand that there is a consequence for that. And when I stand before You, I don't want to be ashamed. So today I surrender. And I say yes to You, Jesus. I say yes to You being my Lord and changing my heart and changing my life. I will follow You for the rest of my days. I thank You that I am forgiven and that I am made new from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give all those people a great big hand? If you made that decision right now, we would love to encourage you in that decision, and we've got Bibles available for you. But right now we're going to stand to our feet and we're going to respond to Jesus. We're going to worship Him this morning. So I want you to stand to your feet, and if you're grateful, if you're thankful for what Jesus has done for you and thankful for His grace, will you sing along with us?